you to say that. Of course, I have been on the meeting board with our pastor and of course with the church of God. Inabati po lang sa iyo. Kaya po yung first time dito, maraming salamat sa pantalon. Ngayon po kami libre ba ito at kami libre po sa iyo. Hanapin na lang ang mga teachers sa rest pa sa pagkali ko lang sa mga teachers. So, ang sana hindi ko for the other number pero nasa community po ninyo na meron po tayo event para sa mga mag-asawa. Ito po yung couples dinner na magagalan po sa February 11. So, inihikaya at inihikahan namin na kayo po ay dumalo. Mapamember po kayo o hindi, you are very much invited. Meron po kami link na sinesend para po sa online registration. Kung kinakailangan po ng link na yun, please approach us for me after po ng service. Tayo po yung napapatuloy sa ating sermon series sa 1 Timothy. Ito ay isa sa tatlong na pastoral epistle na isinulat po ni Paul kay Timothy at isa sa mga alagad niyang si Titus. Lahat ng mga liham na ito ay specifically addressing o is addressing po ni Chura ng isang healthy na iglesia. O ito po yung blueprint of what a healthy church should look like. Isinulat po ni Paul ang 1 Timothy sa kanyang tawag na son in the faith na si Timothy kasi mahiyain po siya. Isang hesitant leader na inassign niya sa church in Ephesus to teach them how to behave accordingly ayon sa salitang Diyos. Siguro ni Paul ang letter na ito concerning sa mga issues na were arising sa Ephesus. Ang mga false teachers na nagtuturo ng ibang doktrina ay nagbigay siya ng mga instructions kay Timothy kung paano po ito i-address sa buong tapang. Kasi nakita po natin na ang pagmamahal sa tunay na gospel o doktrina ay dapat magdulog ng tunay na pagmamahal sa Panginoon at sa bawat isa. Ngayon, gabi naman po, makikita natin ang tunay na gospel ay nagdudulog po ng kaligtasan na nagbabago ng buhay ng kung sino man magtitiwala kay Kristo. Christ saves and transforms the worst of sinners into worshipers and soldiers of God. Christ saves and transforms the worst of sinners into worshipers and soldiers of God. Hinali po natin ang passage nito into 2 points. Number one, celebrate the gospel of grace. Makita po natin yan sa verses 12-17. And number 2, contend for the gospel of grace. Ito po yung remaining verse na 1830. Simulan po natin ang pag-aaral. Celebrate the gospel of grace. Sabi po sa verse 12, I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service. Last week po, sa verse 11, nabanggit po ni Paul kay Timothy na he was entrusted by the glorious gospel message. Nakulitin naman natin dito sa verse 12, pinapasalamatan man niya ang Panginoon that he was considered more trustworthy of the gospel ministry. Itinuloy siyang karapat-dapat para sa gawain ito. Ito ni Paul, hindi pala siyang malaki o magyabang. Binanggit po ito ni Paul, but he has proven himself worthy of the gospel ministry because he's not. At yung po yung sinasabi sa mga verses na ito, he's not worthy of an apostle. Apostle 8. At ito ang nag-trigger sa puso niyang nag-uumapaw ng pasasalamat sa Panginoon. Pagkatapos niya, kung titignan niyo po yung verses 9 to 10, pagkatapos niya ibinigay yung inventado ng mga makasalanan, mababasa po namin sa verse 13 and 15 yung tingin niya sa kanyang sarili. Sabi niya, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. Verse 15, sinners of whom I am the foremost. Paul is saying, hindi siya karapat-dapat na maligtas sa mga nagawa niyang mga kasalanan. Much more, piliin bilang apostle. It doesn't feel that he's worthy. He's, he sees himself as the foremost, or the worst sinner, or chief sinner, o pinakamasama sa lahat ng buhay niya ngayon. Paul was reflecting on his previous life before he siya nakakilala sa Panginoon sa Kristo, that he was still an enemy of God, an enemy of the gospel, an enemy of the church. Sa Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 6, kung siya po'y sulat to, siya ang Hebrew of Hebrews na kaparasin na may malalim at madibig na kaharin wasakin ang Iglesia ng Panginoon sa Kristo. At ito nga yung ginawa niya sa Acts chapter 8 at nabagin dito sa Acts chapter 22. He was destroying churches. Ang ginawa niya sa mga church ay ginalagkad niya ang mga Kristiyano na nagbabay palabas sa kanilang bahay at pinakulong. Siya ang utak ng execution ng isang digo na ang pangalan ni Stephen ang isang naging martir. Mabasa yan sa Acts chapter 7 hanggang 8. At dahil sa nangyari ito, maraming sa mga Kristiyano sa lugar ng Jerusalem ay tumakas. Nagkalag-kalag sila at umalis sa lugar ng Jerusalem at pumuntong po ng Damascus para magtanong. Pero hindi nga dito si Saul dito. Saul kasi ang pangalan dati ni Paul. Saul. Kumuha siya ng extradition papers sa mga chief priests upang makatawid ng border para ang gawin, dakipin at ibalik sa Jerusalem ang mga tumakas na Christian sa Damascus. Ganoon po siya ka-zealous. Ganoon po siya ka-seryoso sa kanyang ginagawa. Ipapagambot niya yung mga tao na yun na tumakas, ipakumulong at ipapa-execute. Yun po ang kanyang gagawin. He's being zealous because akala niya ginagawa niya ito para sa Panginoon. So, anong sinasabi ni Paul dito sa verse 39-15? Ang sinasabi ni Paul dito sa verse 39-15, kung hindi lamang sa habag at biyaya, kung hindi lamang sa mercy and grace ng Panginoon na nagligtas sa kanya on the roadway to Damascus sa Acts chapter 9, siya'y nananatiling makasalanan at kaaway ng Diyos. Ang ina-highlight na po sa testimony na dito is yung mercy and grace ng Panginoon sa kanya. Wala siyang impressive na nakaraan, hindi maganda ang kanyang track record. Kung ikaw ay siya ilagahayag bilang maging pastor, makikita ang kanyang sini, hindi siguro siya tatanggapin. Wala po siyang impressive na past para i-recommend maging apostle. In fact, nobody and no council appointed him as an apostle. It was the mercy and grace of God that Christ himself called him to salvation. And it was Christ also who provisioned him with the apostolic mission. Makita niyo sa chapter 1, verse 1. So, Panginoon po lahat ito, umikilo sa kanyang buhay. Sabi sa verse 13 and 14. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly and unbelief. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. God extended mercy sa kanya. But what's interesting is it's because maybe it's not. He acted ignorantly in unbelief. Ano ibig sabihin po niya nito? This means when Saul was persecuting the church back then, hindi niya alam na si Kristo mismo pala ang ina-persecute niya. You can see it even in the school story sa Acts chapter 9. Nung nagpakita sa nagsalita ang Panginoon sa Kristo na niya, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who is you? Who are you? Who is this? Lord? So, hindi niya alam mismo na si Kristo pala yung kanyang ina-persecute. So, ibig sabihin pa nito dahil sa ignorance and unbelief ni Saul, he was granted mercy and forgiveness ng Panginoon? Absolutely not. God does not excuse sin in certain circumstances. Ang point po dito, God had compassion sa desperate situation for he took pity on him. At ganun pa rin ang Panginoon ngayon sa mga hindi nakakakilala sa kanya. God has compassion in those na wala pa sa kanya. He thought he was serving the Lord by destroying the church. He was all the while blaspheming the name of the Lord. Mga kaibigan, hindi mo alam kung anong mga inyong religious beliefs or orientation. Pero, could it be that the God you are worshiping ay hindi God ng Bible? The Jesus you are calling and praying, siya ba ang Jesus of the Bible? If not, then probably we are praying and worshiping to a God or to a Jesus na kung saan na hindi kinikilala ng Biblia. And that's called blasphemy. He received mercy. Saul received mercy because God is merciful. You call it amen. Paul is not celebrating his wondrous acts to become apostle. No. He was celebrating the grace and mercy of the Lord found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Verse 15 is a concise explanation, articulation ng mismong good news of Jesus Christ, or yung gospel. Sabi dyan, Christ Jesus came into the world. This means that Christ Jesus is not from this world. Kasi He came to, so hindi siya taga dito. He is from heaven above. He existed before creation, along with God Father and God Holy Spirit. Siya ay bumabasa namin, naging tunay na tao. Ang tao po dito ay incarnation. Incarnation. God takes on our humanity. Yan po ibig sabihin ng incarnation. Siya ay tunay na Diyos at tunay na tao. Both natures, ang Diyos at tao isa. At bakit ginawa ni Kristo ito? Bakit po siya pumapak sa atin? Verse 15. To save sinners. To save sinners from what? To save sinners from Himself. To save sinners from His wrath. His eternal punishment towards all na mga makasalanan. Ang Diyos ay galit sa makasalanan dahil siya ay banal. At dapat lang niyang parusahan dahil siya ay banal. His holiness demands justice. Tayo ay inihala ng Diyos sa kanyang wakis, in His image, to display His character and His rule so that God would receive all the praises sa atin. But we have dishonored and ignored the living God. Why? Because we deliberately and rebelliously chosen to live for our own praises, our own glory. And so, ang galit ng Panginoon ay nananatili sa bawat isa, or the wrath of God is upon us, remains in us. Pero ito po ang mabuting balita. Here's the good news. Ang mabuting balita ay dumating ang Diyos upang iligtas tayo from the wrath to come. It is in verse 15. Iligtas niya tayo specifically by offering Himself as a substitute. A substitute. Nabanggit po ito ni Martin Luther na ang tawag na rin ay the Great Exchange. The Great Exchange where on the cross, God lays our sins on Christ and He punishes Him in our place na imbis na tayo pinarusahan, pinarusahan niya ang anak. And the earned righteousness of Christ in His obedience at cross was credited or imputed to us. Imputed to us, credited to us who believe in Him. So nakita niya yung great exchange po dito. Christ died the sin that we should have died.
And we are now in the details sa tayo namatay because of what He did on the cross. So natalong yun, ginawa ni Christ on the cross. And explain it on me in Paul, sa 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Ito po mabuting balita. Any sinner, kahit sino man na makasalanan, kahit anumang kasalanan kanyang nagawa sa nakaraan, kahit gaano kasama ang tingin sa kanya ng ibang tao, kahit gaano kasama ang tingin niya sa kanyang sarili, ay may kapatawaran kay Kristo. Kung ikaw ay magsisisi sa iyong kasalanan, tatalikod sa iyong kasalanan, at ilalagay ang iyong pananampalataya kay Kristo at yung ginawa niya mismo sa krus bilang kabayaran sa ating kasalanan, tayo po'y magkakaroon ng kaligtasan. Tayo po'y magkakaroon ng kapatawaran na nagmumula kay Kristo. So friends, this is an invitation to receive the mercy of God by turning away from our sins and placing our faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for your salvation, for His glory. Punong-puno ng pagkamangha at kagalakan si Paul na siya'y pinili ng Diyos, the chief of sinners. In fact, Paul mentioned that twice in verse 15 and 16 in our passage. Now he was the chief of sinners. I am worse. Pinakamasama. Bakit? Gumawa ba ng survey si Paul sa Ephesus at tinignan niya kung sino yung pinakamahang kriminal dito at mas nalagpasan niya yung mga nagawa nila krimen? Yung mga ironic po kasi sabi niya, I am the chief of sinners. No, hindi po yun. I think this is... Ito po yun. Hindi po ba dapat ganun talaga? Na kapag binuksan ng Diyos ang ating puso at ang ating mga mata sa kagandahan at kabanalan ng kanyang anak, magiging kumbinsado rin tayo sa harapan ng Diyos na tayo ay ang worst of sinners? Hindi po ba? Dahil sa binuksan ng Diyos ang mga mata natin, ang nakita natin ang tunay nating mga sarili, isang madumis at hindi karapat dapat na makasalanan, nahihitupo ang lahat ng pagtumpara natin sa iba. Kasi now you're being compared sa kabanalan ni Kristo. At ang tamang response dito is tunay na na makasalanan ako. Parang si Isaiah nung nakita niya ang Panginoon si Dion. Isaiah 6:5, woe is me! Kawawa! For I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people on unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Okay, alam mo yung tax collector sa parable ni Jesus who went up to the temple and prayed sa Luke 18:13. Standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept striking his chest and saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Ang tao na nakaimpwento sa Panginoon Jesus Cristo. Hindi mo na kinukumpara ang sarili mo na mas mabuti ka kaysa dito, mas mabuti ako kay ganyan. Hindi ako ganun kasama. Hindi na po eh. Kapag tayo naimpwento natin ang Panginoon Jesus Cristo, mamagitan ng kanyang ebanghelyo. Wala na. Kumilos ang banal na spirito sa puso mo. Hindi ka na naninigo ng katabi mo. Ikaw yan. Ikaw na! Lord, hindi ako sa karapat dapat. These men were made aware of their rebellion And so all comparison and all self-righteousness were put to stop. Mga kaibigan, ganito ka ba? Masasabi mo ba na katulad ka ni Paul at ng tax collector na nagsasabi, I am worse of all sinners? Hoy, doon ba katulad ng Pharisee sa Luke 18 na nagsasabi, hindi ako katulad ng ibang mga masasamang ugali niya. Mas ihaman na mabuti na ito. God opposes the proud. He extends grace to the humble. O tama yan, pastor, sa mga hindi Kristiyano yan. Mga Kristiyano rin yan. Kamusta yung conflicts this past days? Sino yung tama sa argumento? Tayo ba lagi? O, hindi lang ginawa yun. I think we need to pause and meditate on the gospel. That's why the gospel ay hindi lang sa non-believer. Para sa believers. Mga kaibigan, baliwala ang gospel kung binabaliwala o binamalikan natin ang ating mga kasalanan. O kaya naman sa mga nagawa nating kasalanan, ang tingin natin ay wala nang tayong pag-asa. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. But I received mercy for this, that in me, the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ, might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. Iniligtas ni Kristo si Paul, the chief sinner, upang maging chief evangelist, chief missionary, so that Christ will display his perfect patience in him. Kung iniligtas ni Kristo ang worst sinner na tulad ni Paul, sa tingin mo ba hindi kanya kaya iniligtas? Sa tingin mo ba hindi na kaya iligtas ang anak mo? Sa tingin mo ba hindi na kaya iligtas yung mga mamag-anak mo sa Pilipinas o sa ibang bansa? Sa tingin mo hindi na kaya pagligtas ng mga tao sa tingin mo imposible sa buhay mo? Dapat itong mga prayer natin sa mga kasama natin sa trabaho eh. Kasi usually yung prayer natin sa mga kasama sa trabaho matanggal eh. Yung mga nalaga, imbis na yung pag-pray po natin na makakilala sa Panginoon. Lord, I pray na makakilala yung ating mga tao na imposible sa ating buhay. Kasi they're holding lunch na yun. Yung mga pag-usapan na natin na. According to John Miller, cheer up. You're a worse sinner than you ever dared imagine. And you're more loved than you ever dared know. Ako rin ang pangako na ito. Katotohanan na ito sa isang kasi. Manghang-mangha si Paul sa mercy and grace ng Panginoon sa buhay niya. Because first, God called him to salvation. And then second, kapag ikaw ay niligtas ng Panginoon, God will transform you. Manghang-mangha siya kasi niligtas siya. Pangalawa, binago siya ng Panginoon. Binago ng Panginoon si Saul. Hindi lang binago yung pangalan. Kasi Saul naging Paul. Kung hindi yung kanyang buhay, ang kanyang purpose, ang kanyang direksyon, ang kanyang mission. Nandun ang zeal, pero his zeal is no longer misplaced. His zeal is now for the glory of Christ and for the advancement of the gospel. So iba na ang mission niya. He's now an ambassador of Christ or an evangelist to the Gentiles. Akalain mo, naalala ko po yung term na yun ang ako ay yung pastor. Yung dumalaw po ako sa aming pinagtakihan na tahanan kung ako'y teenager, nakita ko yung mga barkada kong tapay. Right? And usually, meron sila mga certain, meron kami mga certain bagina nung hindi pa ako nga nilang palalaya. And yun ang mga klaseng pagbate ang binubungan po nila sa atin. Tuminaliwalan. Tapos biglang, hindi ako tumawa sa kanilang pino, hindi ko sila binati katulad ng aming mga pagkiyari. And then dapat sila, nangyayari sila, nakain mo. At kasi ko, Akalain mo. Ano bang narinig mo na yan? Akalain mo. Ganun din yung narinig mo. Akalain mo. Ano? Si Saul na mamamatay Kristiyano, ngayon talaga rin ng Diyos. Isa ang basa. Alam niyo ba na nagbago si Paul because of the grace of God? Just as we have explained. Alam niyo ba na this same grace ay binigay din ng Panginoon sa atin na tumanggap sa kanyang grasya? That very same grace that changed Paul is that same grace na kayang magbago sa inyo. Same grace. Kaya baguhin ng Diyos ang buhay mo. Kaya baguhin ng Diyos ang pagiging tamad natin. Kaya baguhin ng Diyos ang pagiging irritable at mareklamo natin. Kaya baguhin ng Diyos ang pagiging maiksi, ang pasensya, lalo na sa pamamahan sa buhay. Kaya niyang baguhin ang struggle natin sa lust of the eye and lust of the flesh. Kaya niyang baguhin ang pagkakaroon natin ng masyadong critical na ugali sa lahat ng bagay. Kaya niyang baguhin yung pagiging madalas natin magsinungaling, palaaway, rebelde, hindi submissive. Ang pagiging adik natin sa alak, adik sa drugs, adik sa sigarilyo, sa vape na naa-adik, sa porn, at marami pang iba't ibang klase ng addiction. Kung kaya nang baguhin ang isang soul, he can change you and me. He is calling us to humble ourselves at the foot of the cross, where we so that we might receive mercy and grace in time of need. Kaya mga kapatid sa Panginoon, huwag niyo sukuan ang mga mahal niyo sa buhay, nilagay ng Panginoon sa buhay mo. There is true transformation to those who believe in Christ. Don't lose hope. That same grace na nag-save sa'yo, that same grace na nag-bago sa'yo, that same grace will sustain you in pursuing this love. Mamamangha siya. He's amazed. The grace of Panginoon, because He saved him, He changed him. Third, God called him to service. By the way, these are sometimes my number one na wala rin sa tribe. Nilinis, niligtas, binago, ngayon ay ginawa para maging misyonaryo. Parehas naranasan ni Paul ang saving grace ng Panginoon at ang kanyang strengthening grace. Strengthening grace niya upang magpatuloy sa gospel ministry. At ito ang pinasasalamatan ni Paul sa verse 2. Break tayo verse 2. I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithfully, appointing me to His service. Pagdating sa paglingkod ng Panginoon, sa Panginoon, in the ministry, all need God's strengthening grace upang magpatuloy. Ang effectiveness and success ni Paul sa gospel ministry ay hindi nakaangla sa kanyang natural talent o talino. Hindi nakaangla sa kanyang edukasyon, sa kanyang network of friends or supporters, o sa kanyang citizenship. As a matter of fact, ang sinabi ni Paul patungkol sa lahat ng mga kanyang natin ay sa Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8, but whatever gain I had, I counted a loss for the sake of Christ. Kasi natutunan ni Paul sa gospel ministry to do everything through the God who gives me strength. Pamilya kayo sa verse there, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Friends, if you have been serving in the ministry for a long time, alam po ninyo na hindi madali. Alam po ninyo na hindi ganun lagi kasaya. It is tiring, frustrating, heartbreaking, and sometimes you are left unappreciated. Sometimes it feels like a thankless job. Kaya we do become ungrateful and joyless. Sabi ni Lalo. One of the strong points in the passage in Anthony Paul is thanking God sa kanyang privilege in serving His ministry. As an apostle, serving God, despite all the hardships and heartaches that goes with it. Excuse me, pinasasalo natin ang mga kaibigan, do you praise and thank God sa ministry that He has called you to serve Him with His apostles? Do you praise and thank God sa ministry that He has entrusted you sa family mo? Sa mga kasamahan mo sa trabaho? Whether it be singing, ushering, teaching, setting up or operating equipment, designing, personal evangelism, counseling, hospitality, and others, we must thank the Lord for such glorious privilege in serving Him in His name and making Him look beautiful and satisfying to the watching world. It is a privilege, mga kapatid. As Paul meditates on the beauty of the gospel, sa passage nito, it led him to write out a beautiful doxology. Ang doxology po is an expression of praise and thanks to God because of His mercy and grace. Sign number 17. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the God who's sustaining all. And this is the God who can provide strength and grace to those who are serving Him faithfully. Friends, serving the Lord in the ministry is a high privilege. So serve with joy. Serve with gladness. Serve with willingness. Serve with worshipful hearts. Kasi hindi madali. Sa Crossroads, only members are allowed to serve sa ministry. So if you're not a member, okay, and you are professing believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, we encourage you to attend our membership class na magagawa po sa Feb 4 at 9 a.m. sa aming pagkahanan. More details po sa bulletin po niyo sa page 4. If you are a member of Crossroads and you're not serving, we encourage you to serve. Approach us after the service and you can suggest that maybe there are some areas that will interest you. Because Christ modeled true service by dying on the cross. And so we, people who are saved by grace, by Christ, should be serving others as well. Paul reminds Timothy to proclaim the gospel, be thankful for the gospel ministry, and don't get tied up sa mga myths and genealogies at mga controversies pagdating sa mga tuwain. Just proclaim the gospel and protect the gospel, which is your number 2 in Mass. Contend for the gospel of grace. Contend. Paul told Timothy to stay in Ephesus to put to stop false teaching. He commanded them with apostolic authority not to deviate to sound teaching. Galatians Paul 2, Timothy and Timothy 2, verse 18. This charge I trust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Paulit-ulit ni Paul, pinapaalala kay Timothy to fight courageously, to fight valiantly. Fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. Contend for the gospel. Yun ang sinasabi niya sa 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11.
command and teach these things. Ano yung command? 1 Timothy 6:12, at saka 20, fight the good fight of the faith. Verse 20, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Remember, si Timothy ay tinin. He's young. He's probably insecure and unsure of himself. At may ganang malaking problema na tumasok sa church. His spiritual father knows him well. Ako, naiinis sa takot niya. Tumasok dami na. Paul knows that Timothy's terrified. So pinalalakas niya, vindicate the alone with Timothy by speaking to him as a spiritual father now. But also as a general, giving his marching orders to his soldier. He also reminds him about the prophecies that were told about him to the church of Lystra. Now, hindi namin alam specifically kung ano yung details ng prophecy na yan, pero ang point ulit po kung bakit yung pinakit ito is to encourage Timothy na ang ministry na ginagawa niya ngayon was affirmed by the prophetic word that comes from the Holy Spirit. So Timothy, hindi aksidente na dyan ka. Unang-una, you have my confidence. Sabi ko, pangalawa, the church of Lystra endorsed you. And third, the Holy Spirit affirms this, is confirming your ministry mo. So do you see how Paul encourages him? So now Timothy has this encouragement God gives him from the spiritual father. And after giving such encouragement, verse 19, hold fast, hold the faith, good conscience. Ano yung sinina? Ano mo na, holding faith is by fighting, by holding on to the faith. Ibig sabihin na, fight by holding on to the faith. Patuloy mang hawakan at ipaglaban ang doctrinal truths of the Christian faith. Yan ang sinasabi niyo po sa kanya. Patuloy mo pang hawakan yung dinuro namin sa kanya mula sa sagtanan sa dami ng gospel, pang hawakan mo, ipamuhay mo, ipaglaban mo. At lalo na ang tunay ng gospel na ito, we must struggle to defend and uphold it. Di naman sa mga false teachers, kundi pati sa atin mga sarili. Kasi when hardships come sa ating buhay, it will challenge the biblical doctrines we hold in our hearts. Kasama ang gospel. Pag dumating ang tukso, pag dumating ang mga mababigat na suliranin, it will rattle your theological cages to the point that you will doubt the very gospel and the very doctrines that you hold so dearly. When hardships come, sa ating buhay, it will challenge. So hold on! Hold on! Cling to Christ. Second, fight by maintaining a good conscience. Paano? By living a life that adorns the gospel, making the gospel look beautiful. Remember, ang point natin last week, a love for true doctrine produces a true love for God and for the church, for others. Our doctrine should reflect our living. Alam mo, that's happened in the practice of the priest, but there's truth in it. Okay, yes, we hold on to this doctrine, but we want to live it out. Authentic life, not a synthetic one. Ipaglabanan po natin na huwag mag-compromise sa what we know to be biblically true. If you hold on to biblical principles, hold on to it. Hold on to it. You don't see that in Paul's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Kasi spiritually unhealthy men na nag-compromise ng kanilang biblical principles ay magtuturo ng unhealthy doctrine. We mentioned this last week. At kapag nagturo ng false doctrine na mga naman ito, magiging unhealthy ang church. Magiging unhealthy rin ang kanilang behavior or practices as a body. Ang heresy ay nagsisimula po sa puso, hindi po sa ulo, sa isip. Because it will fashion Okay? Our hearts will fashion a God and a doctrine that will be favorable sa kanilang Quran na desires. And we'll teach it with all the senses. Pero kung nangyari sa senses. 19-20. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. Among whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. The main drop na si Paul. The main drop na kasi yung mga false teachers na to. Si Hymenaeus, at saka si Alexander. Kaya Alexander, wala tayo masyado alam o ibang text that talks about him. But meron tayo kay Hymenaeus in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. Si Hymenaeus ay kilala ng tuturo ng heresy o false teaching talaga. And he was teaching na dumating na raw si Kristo. At naiwanan kayo. So, yun yung binagkakalap na rin ito. Kaya it disheartened many, many believers. So, these were false teachers. Ang dealing ni Paul sa kanila, sa mga mama nito, led to exercise church discipline sa kanila. He used the language handed over to Satan. Itong language ito was also used in Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. Due to sexual immorality na nangyayari sa church, natinokot si hindi mismo ng iglesia na nagalit si Paul. Ito ang sinabi sa verse 5, chapter 5, 1 Corinthians. You are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. To hand over or to deliver to Satan means to remove the unrepentant sinner out from fellowship. Because before we are affirming him as a brother or sister living a life that is unrepentant, living an unrepentant life, should be removed from fellowship. Okay? This person is to be excommuned. He was once, or she was once, communing, now excommuned. Out from the fellowship. Removed from it. Ang image ng dito ay I am church is God's blessed domain, and outside the church is the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness. You can look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 before that. When people are disciplined, the church, as if they were handed over to Satan, they were put outside the sanctity of the congregation. You know, church discipline would either humble their hearts, that they need repentance, or harden their hearts, and will continue to rebel. The suffering outside God's blessing would hopefully let them see their errors and return to Christ in repentance from sin. That's why church discipline is loving. Church discipline is hopeful. Church discipline is an act of grace. The reason for doing this, corrective discipline, is that they might come to a saving, repent of their sin, be restored to God's family, and be saved from the coming judgment. Natanggap ni Paul ang charge na ito directly from God. Itong message na ito, directly from God, and then he sends it directly kay Timothy, and from Timothy, this letter that was included sa canon of scripture was sent to us tonight as we read and study 1 Timothy. So mga kaibigan, here's my point, ang charge kay Timothy is also a charge to all of us. We must fight the good fight of faith. Hindi po tayo immune sa attractions ng false teaching. Hindi po tayo exempted sa pagkakaroon ng weak conscience to the point na tayo magko-compromise ang ating biblical principles or violate our conscience. So how do we do this? Quick applications. Number one, fight sin well. Natutok sa kabang bumigay sa isang particular na kasalanan sa opisina o eskwela this past week. Remember, the temptation is stronger when the pressure is higher. Be watchful, or maybe a temptation to violate your marriage vows.
Makaibigan, mga kapatid, sa patayin mo na ang kasalanan bago tayo patayin.
How do we do that? Here's a couple of application points from this application point. Be part of community group. Ang pastor ko naman yung Bible study group. Be part of isang community group, a group na kung saan who would care for you, pray for you, share life together with you. So kung hindi pa kayong part ng isa, community group, we encourage you, tingnan niyo po yung bulletin niyo sa last page. There are different locations with different community group leaders and co-leaders. Kung malapit po kayo doon, please be part. Dubai is a place na pwede yung gamitin ang kaaway na hindi yung kasa Panginoon ay tigapit sa kanya. And Satan is always out there to kill, steal, and destroy. Second part ng first application. Be part ng isang discipleship meeting. Try to meet with someone, one person, or tatlo kayo. Develop that discipleship relationship so that you can encourage and warn one another. Alam niyo ba kung bakit gumamit ng medyo muscular military language si Paul dito sa passage na ito? Kasi, here's the thing, the Christian life is not easy. It's not easy. You will face daily battles against your flesh, against Satan, and against the world. It's a fight na natin hahalapin araw-araw with every circumstances na ipakikita natin sa ating buhay. Even in your moments of silence, you are faced with a challenge, a battle that you must fight and win. And friends, if we give up fighting this battle, we fall. At magpapatuloy po ito till our great Savior comes. So fight! Our enemy has no holidays, only overtime. Second, call out a brother or sister out of your love for Christ and for them. Call out a brother or sister out of your love for Christ and them. Kung may church member tayo na nakitaan nyo, nabigyan nyo, na nagtuturo ng ibang ebanghelyo, a different gospel, be loving, address that. Call them out. Ayaw niyo magpatuloy siya magturo at ayaw niyo kumaharap ng kanyang ibigay. Umaari sa kapatiran who is not walking in step with the gospel. Hindi siya namumuhay ayon sa Ebanghelyo ni Kristo. Para ginawa ito. Okay, Peter, sa Galatians chapter 2. We should quit to call out. Kasi mahal natin sila na ayaw natin sila magpatuloy sa kanya. Okay? One quick application point. So, second point application, the first application. Pero maraming tayong kapatiran mo na hindi na nakikita sa church. Could you be so loving sa kanila to reach out to them? We don't know what they're going through. Maybe they're going through struggles in life. Maybe wala na sila sa ibay. Or maybe they're sick. Or maybe Satan is slowly, slowly engaging their lives and pulling these people away from God and His people. I know na ako kayo that you have people in mind already. Kung natin panatingin na nasa inset, call, visit. The elders are trying and the staff are trying our best to reach out to most of them. Kahit konti tayo, hindi tayo nakatang time, hindi tayo marami, hindi tayo konti. So help us in reaching out to them. Open that membership that I've been in St. James this week na update them. Okay? Call them out. Third and last, join the church family. Become a member of this congregation so you can serve the body with the elders and the members of this church. If you become a member, the elders know that we can count on you because of such a commitment. If you're not serving in the ministry, I mean, you need to.
process within our hearts why we're not serving the body of Christ, which Christ died for. God's grace is amazing. He saves, He transforms, and He sends us out to gospel ministry. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and grace. Such grace is undeserving. We have not earned anything. Lord, wala kami ginawa sa aming buhay to earn such wonderful, amazing grace. So we pray that we would not take this grace for granted, that we would live holy lives, that we as a church would pursue one another with love and good deeds, that we would pursue loved ones na hindi namin kasama ngayon to be back sa gathering, that we would call people to repentance and faith in Christ as we preach the gospel. Oh Father, thank you for your gorgeous grace. And for my brothers and sisters who are fighting a good fight, we pray, I pray for your sustaining, I pray for your strengthening grace as they continue with the gospel ministry for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.